Hey, this is Joe Biden. Listen, I know times are tough and there's a lot of fear out there, but I also know America will come back strong if we've got the right leadership. We can get kids back in school, folks back to work, back to their lives safely if we do it together. So thanks for listening. I'm Joe Biden, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Biden for president.
It's time for the End of Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. This is Damian Lemon.
This is Ali Muhammad.
And this is In the Conversation,
the podcast.
Back again. Still in quarantine on my side of the world. How about you?
Well, I mean, I'm at work, so I got to go into an office, get a COVID check every week, a COVID test every week.
Right.
Been negative thus far.
Ooh. So, undefeated.
You know, we ain't finna talk too loud, gonna knock on some wood. Stay masked up, though. Stay masked up in small places. Small groups in big places.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nasal one every time, or is it a different one?
No, it's the same nasal one, not deep down in your head nasal, but just, okay, you know, to the ridge. To the ridge. Okay. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, so like Booger Patrol, basically.
Yeah. Around the Booger area.
Okay.
Interesting thing is that my wife tested, she had the antibodies.
Interesting.
Okay. I haven't done an antibody test, but she went to the doctor just on some checkup shit and they tested it. And said that she was positive for the antibodies. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, it felt like, you know what I'm saying, like COVID has been in my home. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? You know, like
COVID
somebody break
in.
In
my house. Yeah.
Somebody broke in, they ain't really steal shit, but some little, you see some shit out of place, like, wait a minute, hold the fuck up.
Haunted you. Know what I'm
saying? Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Like, what the fuck you doing, COVID? You know what I mean?
Right.
So,
right.
You know what I'm saying? It makes me wonder, you know what I'm saying? Did the shit actually come through? Like, what the fuck?
Got you singing to Deborah Cox.
Yeah.
How did you get here?
Exactly.
I don't know. Just why?
Like, shit. Like,
shit, man. That's interesting.
That was definitely interesting. I guess it's like, okay, if it did, it didn't, you know, hit and kill nobody. But damn, that shit, nigga.
Just passing through. Yeah, man. I mean, shit. Another house that COVID then fell through was the White House. Old big, you know, 45 got it, you know, allegedly. Some people feel as though it's some bullshit. And immediately when the news dropped, you know, a friend of mine, she was like, I think it's some bullshit. I think it might just be a way to roll out a vaccine, this, that, and the other thing. I definitely wanted to find out what Mahamstadamus has to think about this. Where do you stand on Trump's his diagnosis? Do you feel it's legitimate, or do you feel, as the kids say, cap?
Well, I believe it's all cap. You know what I'm saying? Capital cap. I didn't believe it when I heard it. First of all, I felt like, okay, it's a way to drum up a lot of talk without him having to do any work. You ain't gotta go to no debates. You ain't gotta do no rallies. You know what I'm saying? The COVID diagnosis will talk for you. You know what I'm saying? Then the speculation will continue to talk all the way into the goddamn time for election. Well, they probably got one more trick up their sleeve before the election. So, you know what I mean? This COVID takes him off the board for, you know what I'm saying, at least, you know, 2-3 weeks. I don't know how long it takes for COVID to run through you, but, you know what I'm saying, as long as he's positive, you know, that's going to take him off the board from doing any real fucking work. You know what I'm saying? He calling in sick during the, you know what I'm saying? And they do nothing but help him because he already is sitting president. So, you know, that's all the promo he need. You know what I mean? He just show up, stand in front of the White House, that's going to hit the news. So I feel like it's cap. You know what I'm saying? I feel like, you know, it's strategy. It's you know, so you got to understand these people knew about this thing before all of us knew about it. You know what I mean? So they've had time to plan. And shit, you know, the conspiracy rabbit hole can go all the way deep into, you know what I mean, until you get to where the shit came from. You know, so anyway, not to get all into that type shit, but.
That's what we ask. That's what the Muhammad Stradamus got to do. Sometimes you got to get in your bag.
So, I mean, but these are people who had information about this pandemic years. You know, so they've been having information on pandemics before pandemics actually hit. Then once this one was on the way, they knew that it was coming. They knew the plans of how everything would move. And they got the schedule. All right. So we got to November to make some noise and do some things. So, hey, I don't know. I don't know the reason he would cap about it other than to get out of, you know, doing some hard, real campaigning work. But I don't believe it. But that's, you know, the nigga lie on the news every day. So why should I start believing him now?
Yeah. You know, that's a testament to him that immediately the legitimacy was in question. You know?
Right.
I don't know if I think it's cap. I feel like this is where I'm at with it. I would not be surprised if it's some bullshit. I would not be surprised with some bullshit, but for whatever reason, I think he might have got touched. I think something happened to him. I think that I don't really see much upside on faking COVID, you know, especially from where he came from, especially if he gets caught out there. Because a lot of people were like, well, you know, if anything, this is gonna drum up a bunch of sympathy for him, and maybe that'll swing it, this, that, and the other thing. I haven't seen much sympathy out there. You know, I've seen a lot of told your ass, a lot of karma. I've seen a lot of that. I've seen a lot of maybe political sympathy in the way people like, you know, prayers go out. You know what I mean? I even see a whole lot of that. I seen a lot of, you know, you know, it's unfortunate. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, that type of thing. But, you know, who knows? Who knows? I saw the little video of him climbing the steps, and he looked a little winded from them steps. But, who knows? Then they showing, that's the thing about the COVID shit, too, because then, like, when you, well, I guess being the president with COVID, the scrutiny is going to be on top of it. I didn't like the fact that he jumped in that car with them Secret Service agents just to drive around the block and wave at the people. Right. Because that didn't fuck them people up. But we'll see. I saw also this whole thing. They had the timeline of Herman Cain. Mm-hmm. And they were breaking down, you know, he went here, he contracted it here, he diagnosed here, he left the hospital here, said he feels good, said, yo, I'm feeling very good. Next thing you know, he was dead. So.
Right. Anyway. Which was what? They said he got it at a Trump rally?
He got it at a Trump rally. So.
Maybe they caught it at the same place.
I don't know. Who knows? Who knows? But what was also wild, too, is his Trump supporters was, you know, they was outside Walter Reed, you know, trying to lend their support for his COVID diagnosis. These niggas still ain't have no mask on. Like,
man, they standing firm by it. If he got it and he beat it, shit, what the fuck we need a mask for?
Dog, if he beats it, you won't be able to tell that man shit. You know what I mean?
That's the whole point. That makes the cap even better. So it's like, shit, I'm going to fake it. I'm going to beat it. I'm the strongest motherfucker on the planet. Yeah. 70 years old, I'm the motherfucking president, baby.
We'll see. We will see, man. But yeah, that is a wild one, dog.
King COVID ain't got shit on me.
I would tell you, though, that night that it broke, woo, and I was up when it broke, too. But the night when it broke, I mean, Twitter and Instagram, but Twitter in particular, That was a legendary evening on Twitter, boy. It was a lot of takes, a lot of shit talk, a lot of memes, a lot of the petty was in full effect. I didn't want to get as petty as I wanted because I don't know if I got the antibodies to be as petty as I wanted to be. So to your point, I'm knocking on wood as well, man. Right. Also, Trey Songz just got COVID too. I see people still getting COVID out here.
Obviously. They say Trey Songz got it?
He said Trey Songz got it. Trey Songz said it. Trey Songz made an announcement, said, yo, you know, stay masked up, do this. Don't be like the president. You know what I mean? Like, you got to respect this COVID.
What, he was like the president?
Was like the president. I only heard, like, a blurb of his testimonial, but it basically... He was telling the people what to do to, you know, make sure that they don't get in. And he was, you know, basically saying, do everything that the president is not doing. You know what I'm saying? Wear a mask, be careful, you know, whatever, whatever.
He need to speak more personal, nigga. We need to do everything that you wasn't doing. Shit, right. You laying up with it, giving out advice, nigga. You need to be talking about where you went wrong so we can learn from your mistakes.
I guess.
Shit, don't be deferring that shit off to the president, nigga. You laid up with it, too. You need to talk from personal experience.
Right. Speak from your own journey. But you know, who knows, man? I think he might have started that with it. Again, I only seen like a little quick clip of that. But yeah, man. We will see. We will see, bro. Shit. What's up with you, man? What's going on down there in the A? Besides niggas not respecting the CDC guidelines.
Well, I put it to you like this. There are people respecting it. It's a lot of masks. I will say that is there are people respecting the mask game. Okay. Yeah, they wearing the mask. They just not staying away from the big crowds and shit. Or like they going to the clubs. They, you know what I'm saying, they in the mall. You know what I mean? The Louis Vuitton line in the mall is out down there down the block. You know, they're out here, but there's a lot of masks going on. You see a lot of a Wildcat Cavalier people running around without masks, but not that many. It's not the majority. You know, I did make a quick dip into that mall, but that shit was all of 2 minutes once I got in there because I needed to buy a pair of shoes.
Okay.
And so I dipped in, and, you know, I hit the door at Nike Town. And then there was a security guard that was like, nah, you got to go in upstairs. And I was like, oh, shit. So when I get up, because they doing like one way in. Like they doing one entrance in and then the other entrance exit.
Okay.
So, but then when I got upstairs, I saw that there was a line. And that wasn't what I was going to do. So I hightailed out the mall on the way out. I passed Lil Boosie Badass. And you know what I'm saying? He was.
Oh, you saw Lil Boosie in there?
Yeah, Lil Boosie was on the way in, and I was on the way out.
He had a mask on?
I can't confirm nor deny that Lil Boosie had a mask on.
Because you could identify him by the skin fade, so that's why, you know, you could be like, that's the Boosie.
You know.
Oh, man.
Actually identified him by somebody like, hey, that's Lil Boosie. And then I turned and it was Lil Boosie.
So identify him. He was identified for you.
He was identified for me, but I did see him. You know what I'm saying? He probably did not have a mask on.
Oh, my goodness.
Obviously. Yeah. But Lil Boosie was on the way in. I was on the way out. Okay. And so, you know, that was it. That was my trip. And so, but other than that, man, everything's cool. I finally got the plates to the benzo.
Okay.
So I took the maiden voyage that we talked about, you know what I'm saying, that I planned so thoroughly.
Yeah.
And you know, I realized that the deck in the car don't have no aux situation.
Ooh, yeah. Okay.
I guess it predates Bluetooth and it didn't have an aux plug. It did have a satellite radio, but who needs that? A nigga need an aux, auxiliary audio source.
Right.
So,
right.
So I had to forego my benzo playlist.
Wait, does it have the cassette deck?
Nah, it's a CD. It's like a CD changer. So like CD thing in the trunk type. Okay. You know, I guess that was probably the shit in like 98.
Mm-hmm. You know what it I'm was.
Mm-hmm. So you know what I'm saying? That's probably when it was. Probably like a 99-2000 deck in there.
Okay.
Right when satellite radio was coming out of some shit. Uh-huh. But it didn't have no Bluetooth and no aux cord. So anyway, I had to go with the good V103.
And all right. Keep it local. Shout out to V103.
Yeah, shout out to Kenny
the People Burns Station.
Show. You know what I'm saying? Okay. Shout out to Big Tigger on the morning show.
Okay.
So the highlight song of my maiden voyage was What's Poppin'.
Who was that? Oh, Young Jack Harlow.
Yeah, Jack Harlow's What's Poppin', the remix was that made it came on three times when I was in the cup.
Yeah, that shit double platinum.
That shit kind of hard though. I fuck with it.
That beat, that's a nice tough beat. He a cool cat. I call him he remind me of a young Bill Clinton. You know what I'm saying? that's what I get. That's the vibe I get from him. Yeah. But he went double platinum, so shout out to that man. Yeah, that song been hard.
Yeah, and it's been riding for quite some time.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Seemed like that shit been out for a long time. And that shit is in heavy rotation out here. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that the Lil Wayne version was what they're playing now. And, you know, that's the song that stood out along the maiden voyage is What's Poppin'.
All right. Well, it wasn't what you was looking for. Brand new bands just hopped in, right? Is that the something like that. Brand new to you bands just hopped in. Just got the motherfucking the plates on it.
Yeah. And you know, the way that shit has been cared for, it feels brand new. It's old as shit. Now it's 86.
Uh-huh.
But
oh, it's an 86 piece.
It's an 86 560.
Ooh. Okay.
And that bitch Classique. That bitch runs strong. The leather is a different kind of leather than the new leather. You know what I'm saying?
What's the leather? Talk about it.
Nah, it's you know what I'm saying? You know how like when you sit in most cars and shit, over time that shit get them little cracks in it and shit like that. Nah, this shit strong. That shit just look like, you know what I'm saying, a fine patina on them bitches. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, sometimes when you see a vintage car and that shit is clean and you know it's clean, you can see that shit from the outside of the car. You be like, ooh, that shit clean. You know what I'm saying? That's how this shit is. So one thing that I, you know, just pushing it around, and one thing that I didn't expect out of the whole experience was the camaraderie with old white men. You know what I'm saying? Like those, they my homies. Like, they pull up to the light. Hey, dude, nice car. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, shit. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, the old white dudes be the ones, like, they be breaking their whole neck. Like, oh, shit. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And so, I was, you know, I was with a client, and we were all moving along to meet up with some folks at a little patio scenario.
Okay.
And so, you know, they're like, you know, let's roll up here. And they was going to get an Uber. And I was like, well, I'm driving. And it was like, hey, okay, we ride with you. All right, cool. But they didn't know what we was pushing. Mm-hmm. So we hit the cone, and I didn't expect, you know what I'm saying? I didn't expect, you know, the reaction. Because, you know, right. I'm not used to this particular car. So when they were pulled up on it, they're like, the vintage. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, okay. So we get in, you know what I'm saying? It's like, oh man, the vintage, it smells like leather in here. It's like, man, he was like,
yesteryear.
He was going off about the whole way to the patio. He was just pointing out different shits. And, you know, talking about some of his old schools that he had, now he need to get a new one. And so what that did was, you know what I'm saying, it gave us a touch point. You know what I'm saying? And like I said, I'm not used to really having a touch point with with white guys. You know what I'm saying?
And oh, this was a white guy in the car going to the patio with you. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. A white woman and a white guy. You know what I'm saying? He might be half Asian. You know what I'm saying? Okay. So
that just sound like you just wanted to give him something on the diversity side.
But see, you know, you gotta be careful with the Asian, because I didn't know what kind of Asian. So I didn't want to try to specify it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So I never really have a touch point with them that where we could go into the same place. You know what I mean? So, you know, with white women, you could always go with kids. You know what I'm saying? School shit and kids. Like you could strike up a whole conversation with white women. White men, you know what I'm saying? We have, you know what I'm saying? We be, you know, it's like, you know, arm wrestling, trying to figure something out.
Okay.
But in this particular case, you know what I'm saying? It was a touch point that we could both, you know what I'm saying, have a common ground. So when we got to the other spot, he continued it telling the other white guys that are at the table about it. You know what I'm saying? Which gave us all something to talk about and gave everybody at the table a reason to you know, engage. And so it was cool. You know what I'm saying? And it never happens to where you at the table. For me, it never happens where you at the table. You with, you know what I'm saying? You the only black guy, you know, you having conversation or whatever. And then in the end, you got the white guys like, hey, man, let's exchange numbers. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And that's what happened. It was like, damn. You know what I'm saying? Who knew, you know, that one decision can put you in different conversations that you wouldn't normally be in. And then, you know, you start to think about all the other things that you would have done or you could have done to add things to the table that puts you in the conversation. And so it just made me look at the whole situation a little bit differently than I did in the beginning. Because originally I just got it, you know what I'm saying? I wanted to get the old school, put some BBSs on it and you know what I'm saying, roll with the BBS crew, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But I didn't understand that it was a whole nother vintage car culture out there, that because I wasn't never really a part of it like that.
Right, right. Now, seeing the response, seeing that you know, the utmost care that was applied to your Benz prior to you having it, does that make you a little bit more obsessive with the upkeep of this vehicle than maybe you would be if it was maybe like a later model or some other shit? Like, do you find yourself taking on the same compulsion that the previous owner had to keep spiffy?
Most definitely. Because, you know what I'm saying, I wouldn't say it's more than if you had a brand new Benz, because you'd probably be taking the same care. But it definitely makes you think 3 or 4 times about every step that you're going to make, right?
Right.
So, you know, one, just getting in the car. This is what I noticed. Getting in and out of the car and you got shit in your hands. You know what I'm saying? So say I got my bag, you know what I'm saying? I got a cup of coffee or some shit. Now I'm extra careful. You know what I'm saying? instead of jumping in the car, putting the bag across the seat.
Right.
You walking all the way around to the passenger side, placing the bag in, you know what I'm saying? Making sure everything's straight, shut the door, come back around, then get in and handle your business. You know what I'm saying? Where you got free hands. So it's you're definitely making sure that everything that you came in the car with, you leaving back out with it. You know what I'm saying? Because it's an excitement to come to see that shit just pristinely clean inside when you get in. That's a whole vibe in itself, just entering the shit in full immaculate, you know, cleanliness. So you know what I'm saying, that's just getting in the car, you know. So then as you go to the gas station, you know, you go to the gas station, you pump your shit, take it out, it might be a little drip come off the gas pump, you know what I mean. Nah, you gonna make sure that shit all dripped out before you pull it out. You know what I'm saying? Like you tapping that bitch down. Right. You know what I'm saying? Right. Making sure that shit all dripped out. Then you pull, you know what I'm saying, put that shit up. Right. Then when you driving and shit, when you backing, when you parking and all that shit, you making sure that you're putting yourself in the best position to not scuff that bitch up in no way, shape, or form. You backing in most spots. You know what I'm saying? Now, I used to love a good back end anyway. You know what I mean? But now it's just like you backing in every spot. Like you just backing that thing up every spot you in, so that when you coming out, you got a clear path. You know what I'm saying?
See everything. You can see it all.
You see everything coming out. You don't want to be backing out at the, you know, backing out blind. You don't want to be doing that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, nigga, I got a feather duster, nigga. Like a nigga.
What you dusted? The dashboard? What you dusted with the feather duster?
All the shit, the whole shit, little dust from the garage, nigga, you dusting that shit off. Because I used to see the drivers in New York doing that shit. Uh-huh. Like when they be in the luxury cars waiting on somebody out the building, you know, like, not limos, but like, you know, like somebody with the Benz or a Bentley driver. They get out with the feather duster and, you know what I'm saying, make sure that they getting all the dust off the car. So, you know, you go to the garage, you might see your shit a little dusty a little bit. You know, you come across it with the feathers, you know what I'm saying?
And where you get your feather duster?
Okay, that's what I'm about to say. The first one I bought was from the Target, but it wasn't feather, it was the microfiber, right?
Right.
But the dude I seen on YouTube with it, he had real feathers and shit. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, so I didn't go looking for one, but I walked into like a little shop that sell little homewares and shit like that. And then they had a little basket full of different kinds of feather dusters. And then they had a big one, you know what I'm saying? That had a bunch of real feathers on the shit. Mm. And so I bought that bitch, you know what I'm saying?
That.
Now the feather duster lives in the trunk, you know? Okay. Okay. And now when you take a trip to the car wash, it's not just, you know, all right, wash my shit and then I'm up out of here. That shit is, you know what I'm saying, getting it detailed. Mm. You know, get to detail my shit, you know what I mean? And it's a different response from everybody when you pulling up clean, because they know, they take on that same persona in dealing with your shit too. You pull up to the valet, they like, oh shit.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean?
Fuck my shit up.
Right. And they step to you a little different, you Mr. Muhammad and all that shit. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, I done pulled up to the valet and something, you know what I'm saying, not so immaculate. And I know how they treat you. I pull up in something just regular, decent, you know what I mean? And I see how they treat you. You pull this up in something nice, like something newer, nice. Mm-hmm. And it's one, but it's something about an old school car that has been taken care of. That I think that shows a little more about your diligence when your car from 86 is still clean.
Right.
You know?
Right. That's like good credit.
Right. And so at this point I've adopted that. But now it puts you in a position to get your shit together and carry yourself like that. And then that floats over into your regular life too. You know what I'm saying? Because now you start looking at everything around you in that way. Like, okay, shit, let me make sure this shit is, you know. And I ain't never been that kind of person. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Mm. I ain't never been that, you know, OCD type. And I ain't OCD, but I come in here, I will wipe these counters down every time I see anything. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I make sure everything off the counter. And see, if my wife heard me talking this shit, she'd be like, who the fuck is this nigga? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But it's just something I'm doing in my own private space to say, hey, I need to change. You know what I'm saying? Right. And see, they're not going to believe you change until it's, you know, consistent over time and over time. But I already feel the change, and you know, it's like if you handle all of your things in your life that way, then shit, all your shit be clean. You know what I'm saying? And if all your shit clean, not in just look, but just in execution, then you should be in a great space in life. You know what I'm saying? That shit probably feel real good. Instead of being, you know, scrambling on some things, you know what I'm saying? You good on others, but it's like, it ain't nothing like walking into all your shit and all your shit is A1.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right. Nah, shit. I hear it in you.
So, it, you know what I'm saying? Sometimes you got to see it in a way that it makes sense to you. You know what I'm saying? And just for whatever reason, that made sense to me. Because, like, if you go, like, my mother-in-law's crib, right? She got a classic mid-century modern crib. You know what I'm saying? White bricks with the 18-inch bricks. You know what I'm saying? It's real nice. And and that shit is pristine. She got that shit in pristine condition, man. Like, that shit, it ain't like no new shit in there. It's all the shit that came with the house. But that shit looked like probably like the day she moved in, because the way she take care of that shit. And you know what I'm saying? Now I understand it, because it was presented to me in the way that I understand. So, yeah.
Carry on tradition.
I feel like you can carry that shit over into different parts of your life.
That shit make me want to go downstairs and wipe my car down.
Wipe me down.
I'm dead ass. Shout out to Boosie. I'm dead ass. I feel like going out there. But you know, I park on the street, so that's a losing battle in New York City. Right.
But that's why those drivers always had them little dusters with them. Cause it feels like it's losing. But you know, once you get to it, you know, you might do the shit every 2 days or once every, you know what I'm saying? You do the shit on Thursday, get your shit washed on Saturday. You know, it's just an exercise in, because when you're doing it, you noticing different things like, oh, okay, all right. I might have to attend to that. So, you know.
It's commitment.
I dig it.
I don't know if I'm as far. See, the thing, what I would need also, and I don't know if I'm into this world with, you know, especially if you park on the street. If you don't park in a lot, you know, you might need a bumper bully. I don't like them shits. Them shits look crazy to me. I don't know. I mean, I dig it. I understand the use of it all, but it just looked like I don't know. It's just something about it that kills the vibe of the car. Now, this is a very key question, and I think I know the answer. But so far, is there any eating in the Benz?
Oh, no. Nah, I've transported coffee in the Benz, but I didn't drink it.
Coffee's already dangerous. You got the lid off.
Coffee's dangerous as fuck. Coffee is dangerous as fuck, because coffee, by design, finds its way outside of the cup. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You know, you ain't got to do nothing to spill coffee. But it's just a transport. It's from the coffee place back to the spot. And a couple blocks, and it's in the, when I got one, I tell them to give me a holder. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And so I put the holder on the floor and then, you know, drive gingerly on back. But it ain't even been no food in that motherfucker.
Okay, no fries, no beef patty.
No.
The beef patty is one of the worst. That shit turns into shrapnel. Oh, shit.
Popeye's chicken and beef patties, boy. You do not want to eat in no car.
That shit destroy your whole shit.
Or you coming crumbs forever.
Or you coming from the barbershop. That'll kill you, too. The little pieces of hair that the barber didn't really all the way brush off. That shit'll find its way all over the place. You know. It's good to hear, man. It feels like, you know. Huh?
You gotta keep that in mind. You gotta keep that one in mind.
right. Get your duster.
Get one of the motherfucking shower caps. I ain't going that wild, but yeah. It's just, you know, it just make you think. I was just thinking about that today when I was putting the bag in the car. It's like, you don't want to just throw that shit across the seat, because, you know what I mean? You don't know how that landing finna be. And all it takes is that one little scuff up.
Yeah.
Fuck your whole vibe.
Fuck your whole shit up. Then it becomes like the broken window theory.
Right.
Because then you could fuck around, become demoralized and be like, why? Right. And next thing you know, you just let go.
Nah. You know what I'm saying? Keep fighting.
Yeah, man. Keep it up.
So that's what's up, man.
So that, you know what I'm saying? That was cool. You know what I'm saying? So it was we broke it in. You know, did a few laps, and I'm taking it to the shop on Thursday to get the, you know what I'm saying, the overall diagnostic run through. You know what I'm saying? Okay. Make sure we know what's what and everything. Get all the
You
fluids.
Named your joint?
That was Merlot.
Oh, okay. You said it like we knew. I don't know. I don't know if you said that.
I'm just, yeah. If I didn't, that's what it is.
That nigga love that call. Merlot. Shout out to Merlot. There you go. All right.
That's when you know it's a connection. This nigga got a name for it.
Oh, let me go ahead and holler at Merlot. Oh, shit, man. That's what's up. Oh, man. What's
man,
up?
That nigga crazy, man.
No, it's true. I'm thinking something. There's a connection there, man.
Shit.
Yo, I've been doing like a little social experiment. I mean to talk about this for a while. And it's just a real funny thing, particularly, you know, I'm curious how it would work down there in the South. Mm-hmm. But in the North, it's very funny. But like if I call a business, right?
Mm-hmm.
Call a business or if I call anything. Yeah, I call a business. And, you know, they pick up the phone, such and such business, whatever, how may I help you? I always, before I do anything, I hit them with a, how are you? I hit them with that, just a how are you? And I get quiet. I want them to respond. And more often than not, it fucks them up. They be a little taken aback. Like, they kind of so in the midst or in the, you know, throes of just doing a job that when you just say, how are you, it kind of fuck them up. And they often answer like, what do you need? You know what I mean? Like, it's very, you know what I'm saying? It's very, they start to, I'm fine. Like, they kind of, it's almost defensive. I'm good. You know what I mean? Like, it's just it's just some funny shit that I've been paying attention to. I've been calling people. I've been like, yo, hey, such and such. How are you? You know, I even got like I haven't done it there, but I will say that one of my big tests will be next time I order from the Chinese restaurant. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because the Chinese restaurant, nigga, you need to have your shit ready to go.
Right. But anybody playing no games with the Chinese restaurant?
Nah, they trying to turn it around. But surprisingly, the one that I deal with, they are probably the most patient Chinese restaurant I've ever ordered from. You know what I mean? Hey, how are you? I'm doing well. Like, we could have a full-on. I haven't tried it yet, but I feel like it'll go over. But anyway, what I want to talk to you about, I guess we should talk about Young Power. I think you saw it. Did you see the mid-season finale of Power?
Yeah, I saw it.
Now, first off, that threw me. It ain't coming back in December, but a part of me is like, I know 50 Love a midseason finale, but
they're not coming back to when?
December. You ain't see that part of it? They say, yeah, that shit ain't coming back to nah. Yeah. It's not coming back. But see, I thought, you know, he love a midseason finale, you know what I mean? But I think also this might be a case of the COVIDs.
Right.
I think COVID might have caught them slipping in the midst of the whole situation. So maybe they had to double back.
Just from the information that I've heard. Okay. They were finished with this season, already shooting and all that. But what I do, they are shooting the Canaan one right now. So they might, you know what I'm saying, need that little break to kind of focus their efforts on getting the Canaan production in a good place. So they probably let this one simmer a bit. And then, so by the time it finished, the Canaan one could drop.
Mm. Okay.
So you wouldn't be left too long without it. You know what I'm saying? At no given point.
Without something. But shit, we about to be left for about 2 months.
Yeah, that's true.
And yeah, it was cool, man. That's the last episode. It feels bad that it's going to be till December now, because it was starting to like really start to gain some momentum a little bit with the storyline. People were starting to, right. You know what I mean? Shit was starting to kind of to gel a bit.
Yeah, they started to get into their power shit where, you know, fire's burning everywhere. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Tariq is ghost solving all kinds of riddles.
What you mean? What you talking about?
I'm just saying he just, you know, getting fucking with Sacks, you know what I'm saying, trying to figure the whole shit out with Monet, you know what I'm saying, you know, getting his team set up right, and, you know what I'm saying, got Sacks on his ass, you know what I mean, it's just, he moving through this shit, his phone won't stop ringing, right. You know what I mean, he the plug, and he's growing into that ghost character,
right, per se. And he almost got, he kind of got anointed too, his mom's was like, you're just like your father, you know what I'm saying, you know, so yeah, there was that moment. I tell you one thing that I didn't even see Ghost do it like this. Tariq move around the city faster than anybody I've ever seen
with no car.
I don't know how he moving, but that nigga will be there, here, and everywhere immediately. Nah. This nigga was about to slide by the prison on the late night. It's all types of shit. But
now who was doing that in last season? Was it Tommy? Like, this motherfucker hit everywhere.
It was all everywhere you wanted to be. They pull up. He pull up, young Uber.
Oh, nah, I know who it was. What's my man name? God damn, he got killed.
Silver?
Nah, the dude who used to work for Ghost. Rotimi.
Dre.
When Dre, remember Dre got out of jail, when he broke out of jail and all that shit, and he was on foot, then he made it to Queens, then he made it over here, and he made it back to Truth. I'm like, this nigga, all in a matter of seemingly minutes.
Right.
Nigga went to see his mama, picked up his girl.
Oh, right. Yeah, like,
This is crazy. This travel time.
Yeah, man, but I don't even think Dre's touching Tariq shit. Tariq is, this nigga's New York City Marathon. He going through all the boroughs. He everywhere. You know, he ain't always on time, but he going to be there. He going to be there. That motherfucker show up. It was crazy, but this episode was pretty cool, man. It was the first time, and obviously it wasn't really due to too much fault of his own, but it was the first time that he kind of has been off point this season. Because he's been, you know, and I've been concerned about it too, because he got a lot of plates spinning. Right. And, he got drugged inadvertently. And now homegirl Riley, is it Riley? I think Riley figured out how to put the GPS on his phone. And then that was probably the corniest part of the whole shit, where Sax is in the background at the cemetery.
right.
I'm like, I've
been caught on camera shit.
With the great audio, you know what I'm saying? This nigga's in a drunken slur, but this audio, he like, I don't know, Sax got an iPhone with a boom mic, but he picking up everything. So there was that. Oh, Cotty died. Zeke then took that down. You kind of saw some foreshadowing, but that was interesting. What else happened in the show?
The shit that tripped me out was Mary J's mothering. You know what I'm saying? With the daughter when she was teaching her, you know what I'm saying? How to control a man and shit.
Right.
It was like a goddamn hood street after school special. This is what you got. A man got to see himself in your eyes. You know what I'm saying? Which wasn't no lie. Like, you know
what
I'm saying?
She was saying some slick shit.
That was some real shit.
She was saying some real shit, but what was so funny was she just happened to have a teachable moment right there. Now watch this. Fuck out of here.
Which is totally the opposite of what she just said.
Yeah.
I guess she said you got to take it away.
Yeah.
Like, okay. Like, I don't think I'll be coming back after all that shit now. Fuck out of here. Fuck out of here is dead words.
That is a whole lot. That's a whole lot.
Fuck out of here is dead to be words.
Yeah, that's crazy. Well, what also showed was everything's pretty transparent, I feel. I mean, I had a feeling the Drew thing was transparent. But everything is everybody know about everything. Because at first, and I'm almost positive that Kane know his mom's is dealing with the cop. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Because for a while I was like, oh, she keeping it on the low. Because remember, I was like, how he showing up in full uniform trying to be low? But I guess, you know, everybody know. And what's been a running joke with Mary, me and my cousin, he was laughing about this shit
it feels like damn near every episode, there's one scene where they're all gathered in the living room or some space, and she just come in and be like, "What y'all doing in this motherfucker?" It's always like she always breaking up the whole shit. What the fuck is going on in this motherfucker?
Like an explicit good times, and like no lock on the door, nigga, just bust in.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was interesting, man. Obviously it's getting on this little power shit where, like, I don't know what's going to happen with Tamika, hit the stand or whatever. There's that whole thing. Did y'all think anything else happened that was like, wow? Not really. It was cool. Yeah, it was cool.
It was cool.
I
think, like you said, they're getting in a good rhythm of it. It's just, it probably would be better once they start moving on from the original storyline. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And figuring out a way to give the show its own personality. So right. You're not, you know, trying to, it's like they're recreating the same dynamics of power.
Right. They brought Raina back.
You know what I'm saying? Raina is continuing to grow.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, of course, it's the same characters. It's a whole new story, but they really had an opportunity to build something new. But I guess it's definitely more, it's easier to thread it together, especially in this first season. So I understand why they did it. You know what I mean? It's like, I'm just ready for it to grow up on its own, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm ready for something to shift a little bit in these characters. Yeah, they slowly get in there. I think this little drop off is, you know, we'll pick it up when we pick it up, but it just feels like it's going to kill a little bit of momentum.
But we'll see. And it's also like, if you had mid-season finale and it's not coming by December, ain't been no gunplay. Well, you know, I guess Zeke, you know what I'm saying, did a little shits here and there.
So it's Kane, not Zeke.
Kane, you know, pulled a few triggers and all that, but it ain't been no real situations yet, you know what I mean?
Now, let me ask you this. This is a theory I got. I don't know. I feel like they might be trying to set Tariq up by giving Tariq Kane's gun, because there might be some bodies on that gun.
Oh, there's definitely some bodies on
it. You know what I mean? I don't know if that was a brand new gun, but I don't think so. The way he passed it to him, where he was so, you know, comfortable with it. So there's some bodies on that gun. So there's, and it already kind of, you see that, you know, obviously it was a moment again, like he was drugged, that it wasn't anything that was in his own control. Mm-hmm. But that might be read as him being a little sloppy. So like, yo, let me hit you with this. I'm going to send my fucking thwarted lover to go pull up on you. Find the gun on you, and now we kind of got you in a bind a bit. Because right now, Tariq is kind of, he's smooth. Like, he moving around. He like, yeah, I seen what you did. I seen you try to send this one over here to check on me, and I ain't touch your daughter. You know what I mean? Like, he oil and water right now. But we'll see. We'll see.
That's, but, you know, Tariq, you know, he's slick enough. He'll end up, you know, he know how to put a charge on a nigga. he will spin that shit around, like, you know what I mean?
Fucking Tommy Egan to take the case,
somebody,
right?
Yeah, because I guess, but that's still the ghost shit. How they did Kanan, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Spun Kanan into the pen, so
yeah,
you know that's in him. So shit, if he get jammed with that gun, and best believe that shit gonna fall all the way back to, you know what I'm saying, your boy. Mm-hmm.
Man, I wish you was watching this motherfucking Lovecraft, bro. Because this shit, every week, man. I know, and I see some people kind of, you know, hollering at you. But every week, man, this shit is something, dog. It's like, this last episode was pretty ill.
Talk your talk, bro.
I'm going to tell you about it. I'll tell you a little bit about it. So this last episode, it basically, like, it feels like every character kind of gets an episode to themselves. So I want to say the last episode, the mother, Hippolyta,
That's the mother's name. Hippolyta, she wound up being transported into a whole different vortex. And while she was in this vortex, like, she got to, you know, experience life way beyond her imagination, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, she got to see things that were greater than, you know, her role as George's wife, Dee's mother, you know what I mean? Like, it was a little deeper than that. And, like, so she wound up, you know, dancing with Josephine Baker out in Paris, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? Smoking weed with her, snorting coke a little bit, getting it in. Then she wound up going and becoming like a gladiator of sorts, you know what I'm saying? And it was like, and it was some other shit that she did another thing that I can't fully remember, but she kind of, she got to see things that were way different than what she had ever experienced, right? So she gets to, she's speaking to this one woman, this huge, like this futuristic woman with this huge afro, who I believe they call Beyonce. And they were like, yeah, they was like, yo, so do you want to go back? You know what I'm saying? And, you know, typical. And I also shout out to the Lovecraft Country, the podcast that they got. Like, they got like a little podcast that I've been fucking with, you know what I mean? Just to get a little bit more context on shit. And it's been really good because it's one of those shows. Like, I'm, you know, there's the, like, a running joke with Lovecraft Country that people just don't know what the fuck is going on. Right. You know what I'm saying? Because the shit just goes anywhere. And oftentimes those type of shows kind of take me out. Like, I'm not into it or whatever. But for whatever reason, I just think this shit is so good and written so well and performed so well that, like, whatever they throw at me, I'm all in. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what we doing? All right, fuck it. I'm with it, you know? Mm-hmm. I've suspended my disbelief. You know what I'm saying? And typically, I'm not one to do that. But anyway, so Beyonce was like, yo, you ready to go back? You know, and they were talking about that on the podcast. They were like, typically, a lot of these shows, especially the female character, the mother character, they might have an escape or a break from their responsibilities, but ultimately they go back to being mother. You know what I mean? Maybe mm-hmm. a little bit changed, a little bit more, you know, maybe a little bit more daring or a little bit more edge, but they going back to their same old assignment. They back to the desk of motherhood. And Hippolyta was like, nah. So she said, fuck it, I'm out here in these cosmos. I'm doing me. I'm about to live life. And she hasn't come back, right? So now Diane, who is the little daughter, mm-hmm. she's basically an orphan at this point because
her mama is in the cosmos.
Her mom's in the cosmos and her pops is gone. Her pops died, you know, suspiciously. Nobody really got any closure. Even Hippolyta didn't get any real closure. Or maybe she mm-hmm. did when she was out in the cosmos. But nobody really got any closure. You know, Atticus and Letty, they know what happened. And what's my man's name? Michael K. Williams' character. I want to say it's Monroe. I could be wrong. But they know, but they don't want. They ain't want to tell Hippolyta. They ain't want to tell, you know, because it's deep or whatever. And then some of the shit is like right. so supernatural that it'd be hard to explain or whatever. Even though it seems like the tradition in the family is they're somewhat expansive in their thinking, or at least they're pretty deep into science fiction. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So long story short, you know, Diane got no father, no moms, you know, and no closure because nobody's told.
How old everybody's, is Diane?
Diane's probably about 10, 11, something like that.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So basically no closure and, you know, they didn't really know what happened to Hippolyta. So they don't even know how they telling her that she's still on a trip. That's mm-hmm. That's the word that they're telling her. Yo, she's still on a trip. She's coming back. But she obviously ain't been back yet, you know. And I guess this is back in the days to where, you know, nowadays everybody, you can't really get lost. You know what I'm saying? Right. You can send a text, whatever, whatever. You know, back in the days, somebody could be gone for a while and you just hope to get a letter or maybe a call. But until then, you just going to have to deal with their absence. So yeah. It opens up with that. That's like part of the, you know, the setting. And there's this huge, they're all on this huge fucking line. Like it's a mob of people out south side of Chicago. and they're on this line, and it's revealed to immediately pretty much they on the line to because they're like, yo, what is that smell? You know what I mean? She's like, it stinks out here. What's that smell? And it was like, she's like, that's him, huh? You know what I mean? They were online to see Emmett Till's body. You know, you know, famously, you know, Emmett Till's mom was like, I want America to see what they did to my baby. You know what I mean? So I'm gonna put him out there, whatever. And so it's like thousands of people on this line to go see. And then the thing is, there was an Easter egg. I think I said this before, but there was an Easter egg a few episodes earlier where they had Emmett kicking it with them. So Diane was cool with Emmett Till. They called him Bobo, I think. Like, that was his, like, that was their, that's like one of her homies. That was like a close friend. So, long story short.
This is the daughter.
This is the daughter, yeah.
Uh-huh.
So she's about the same age as however old Emmett Till was when he died. I'm not sure. So, anyway, something happens to the fact that they all kind of, Diane just breaks out. Like, because she kind of at the end of her rope. She's like, yo, what the fuck is going on? Y'all not telling me where my mom's is at. You know, my father, I ain't seen him in forever. You know what I mean? Like, y'all, and I know that y'all are privy to some information that you're not really sharing with me.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because she's the kid. So, you know, they're trying to, you know, there's that discussion of should we share this information? Nah, we should shield her. But I mean, but we walking in here, she's going to see Emmett. And, you know what I mean? Well, she should see this. It's like, you know, it's that parental dance that you have to do, I would imagine, where it's like, well, how much do you expose your child to at this level or at this stage in their life? What can they handle? What should they be kind of guarded from? So anyway, she snaps. She say, man, fuck this shit. And she break out. She get missing. And it's like a like thousands of people. So it's very easy for her to go. This is Chicago, summertime, mad hot. She winds up on like the L train platform. And she's, I don't know where she's going to go, but she's waiting for the train with a bunch of people. It's a busy platform. And she looked to her left. And, like, she see, like, these two little girls. But they dressed real tattered, fucked up hair. Barrettes is looking crazy. Like, they're the inverse of each other. So, like, if one girl's leg, they got on stockings, but one stocking is ripped and the other one is all the way there. So, if one girl's leg is the right leg, the other girl's whole stocking be the left leg. And they like, they be moving all weird. Like they like some jigaboos. You know what I'm saying? Right. Pickaninnies or something like that. They like, it's like real horror shit. Like they coming in and only she could see them. She like, yo, see that? She say, yo, see that? They like, what the fuck are you talking about? What are you talking about? So she trying to run from them. And the way they moving with this old wild, like animated choreography that is mad spooky and scary and funny as shit. Like it is wild. So,
damn.
They going through the whole thing. There's a bunch of there's a few things that are interrelated. So I'm just gonna catch you up on a little.
Where'd Diane go?
This is Diane. She's on the platform. Dips off the platform. Like she run through the turnstile and like she tries to outrun them. And then she getting out of there. So but they're in pursuit of her for like basically the entire episode. So that's her storyline, kind of outrunning these jigaboos, right, or whatever, and these two girls trying to outrun them. Then on the other hand, damn dog, because now I feel like how you used to feel with the Game of Thrones shit, because there's that happened.
Now it's intriguing. Now I want to see the shit.
Dog, I'm trying to fucking tell. I've been saying this shit for weeks. I'm telling you, like, this shit is fire. Like, power cool. Power cool because that's tradition. Power cool because that's tradition. But, and it's not just you. Like, I've been trying to tell my sister. It is so funny because my sister going to wait till, like, Facebook make it hot. You know what I mean? Because she on that. She in the Facebook constituency. You know what I'm saying? She's like, well, Facebook been talking about, I'm trying to tell you, it's fire. You need to fuck with it. Anyway, because the more hours go by, the less more inclined people are to jump on it. You know what I'm saying? When they like, damn, nigga, 7 hours? It's different. When it was 2 hours, you could catch up real fast. Anyway, and I don't want to fuck too much of the shit up. But so Atticus... And I'm gonna start being a little surface and shit, just because there might be some people that are like, nigga, you fucking the shit, you know what I mean? But Atticus has a visitor from his past pull up. And like Atticus and Letty, Atticus is the Jonathan Majors character. That's like one of the, he's the lead. Jonathan Majors is the cat from Last Black Man in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. The young Morehouse kid from what's the Spike Lee joint with Delroy and Chadwick Boseman, the most recent one on Netflix. What is that called? Five Bloods. Mm-hmm. So that's Atticus, Jonathan Majors, and then Journey Smollett is Letty. And that's you know, so anyway, like there's mad shit going on. There's just mad shit going on. I don't want to get too crazy with it. All I say,
the mama make it back home, or she got
the mama's. The mama's. I think the mom has chose not to come back home. The mama ain't coming back home at this point. At this point, she ain't back home. Nah, it's just it's Atticus, Diane, Letty, and Monroe.
Now, do these characters go across the whole series, or is it just different?
Nah, they go across the whole series. They go across the whole series. At first, I thought it was more of an anthology. It's not. It's just like, just wild shit happens every episode. And there's also Ruby. Ruby is Letty's sister. Ruby had a wild episode where, like, Ruby took this potion. See, I don't want to fuck none of this shit up. It's fire, dog. The show is crazy. Ruby's journey is a whole nother thing, and then that goes from episode to episode because she dibbles and dabbles with. Like, it's a lot about there's a lot of stuff about magic. There's a whole lot of shit about, you know, it's just like a period piece. So this is like 50s, South Side Chicago. You know what I'm saying? So there's a lot of racism shit going on, like Jim Crow era type shit. There's moments where, you know, Atticus was in the war, the Korean War. So there's a little bit of that going on. And there's, Letty is like doing her own thing. She's a photographer, but she's very feisty. Like she's, you know what I mean? Like she, you know, she cannot be tamed. Like it ain't, she's not for none of this type of shit. She is her own. She moving on her full-on agency. She going to do what the fuck she want to do. You know what I'm saying? Diane is like a real curious, smart kid. You know what I'm saying? Because she had real great parents. She makes these little comic books and shit like that. So back to this particular episode, because when Hippolyta took a trip to go like research this ownery, like this little ownery thing, like it's like a constellation type of like diorama made out of like real metal and shit like that. Like it's like, it looks like a music box, kind of like that's like a solar system constellation type of thing. She found out, you know, the coordinates or whatever. So she went to some place. She tracked down some place to go see what's what. That's how she wound up in that vortex. But when she got pulled into the vortex, she dropped one of the comic books, because every time they go out on a trip, Diana will write, like she'll draw up a comic book, like she'll give them their latest comic book for some reading material. Here's my latest. So she wound up leaving that because they had to kill a couple cops and shit like that. So that was left at the scene. So cops, they were on Diane. So then there's a moment where they pull up on Diane and in the alley, they start choking her out. She can't breathe. Like, it's so crazy. What's so crazy? I said this last week. It's so crazy, and I said it before, the brutality of black people is fucking evergreen. You know what I mean? They never been topical. You know what I'm saying? Right. So it's just like, how much of what's going on in this show that was scripted however many years ago, at least a year ago, still resonates now. It still is like fucking timely as fuck, almost down to the week. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So there's moments where like shit is going on that's just like, it's just like, damn. You know, the more things, you know, shit, nothing's the same, ain't shit changed. You know what I'm saying? Cops spit on her. He puts like a spell on her because the cops on some other shit. There's a moment where she kind of get her get back, you know what I mean? She spit on them, you fucking pigs. Like, she get it in, because she tough too, you know what I'm saying? Then there's a part where, like,
which is ill. There's this one scene, well, it's a couple scenes. There's this one part where, I don't know if it was Ruby. Yeah, it was Ruby. And again, I'm keeping it kind of cursory. But Ruby's talking to this one white woman who's also a reoccurring character. And she's like a shapeshifter as well. But like she's like this white woman in this form, and they having a conversation, and she's talking about, she asked her, you know, do you even care about Emmett Till? Do you see what they did to him? Do you even care about what they did to him? This, that, and the other thing. And she says, you know, how he got beat, whatever, whatever. And she was like, you know, to be honest, I don't, you know, like this, that, and the other thing. And I don't believe you do because this, you know, she kind of pointed to some shit. So it was a little bit of foreshadowing because later on, she winds up getting beat and they do the exact same shit to her that they did to Emmett Till. And it's just like the way that they do certain shit is kind of like just the way that they'll make you. Now that you see how brutal that was, or even if you already knew, if you were already conscious or aware, you know, for people that may not be black and affected, or for like the wide majority of people that are like that can't relate or maybe don't empathize or couldn't imagine it being them, to see this white woman go through the same shit that they did to Emmett Till might send it home to him. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's deep, man. It's hard. Fucking, I said on Twitter, I was like, every time the end credits of this show come up, I'm like, damn. It's like the end of a roller coaster. Like when you just stop and you just gather yourself, like it's that fucking good, dog. It's good.
Dang.
Yeah, man.
That's crazy.
Yeah, man. So I say you should fuck with it, man.
Yeah, I'm gonna fuck with it. Nah, shit. You sold me now.
Yeah, that shit is all that.
Like just hearing Lovecraft Country, then you know.
Yeah, the name would kind of make you say, huh? What the fuck is that? It's just real ambiguous. I know why it is now from this last episode. I know why it is now, or at least I have an idea of why it is now, but it might even be a little bit more expansive than that. But yo, dude, like, there's at least, I don't know how many weeks it's been, maybe 7 or some shit like that. There's at least out of the 7, they all good, but at least 4 or 5, like, there's some bangers. Like some, oh shit. Like this episode is fire. Yeah, man. Yeah, so.
Shit.
That shit is dope. That shit might be the hottest show on TV right now, in my mind. I haven't seen the most recent episode of Fargo. I started it. You know, I'm still fucking with that. But I don't got no real recap on that at this week. Mm-hmm. But you know, Fargo's definitely in rotation. And you know, I'm still over here with these Thrones. You know what I'm saying? Again, into the Thrones. You know, I'm still early on in it.
Let us know when you're ready to recapsules.
We could do a whole situation. Yeah, we could do a whole damn nigga, there you wanna watch the Thrones type of situation. You know what I'm saying?
Might pull up some of the old recaps.
Yeah, I think I might have to do that. I think I might definitely
have a conversation with the old Ali.
Right. Hilarious.
That should be funny.
That shit is wild. But anyway, man.
You watching any of these finals?
Yeah. I've been paying attention. I've watched every game.
Shout out to the Heat. You know what I'm saying? They got one in.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Jimmy Butler laid it all the way out there. You know
got
what I'm saying?
Busy.
Like, I see they giving old Hero the, you know what I'm saying, Hero's touch on the memes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Hero, like I said before, he be looking comfortable out there for him to be, you know, so young and, you know, like, yeah, he getting into it. But, yeah, Jimmy was going crazy. I don't know. We're going to see what happens tonight, man. If the Heat, if the Lakers win this tonight, I think it's a wrap city. But we'll see. We'll see, man.
No doubt.
Yeah. Anything else you fucking with?
What am I fucking with? I'm fucking with the 21 Savage tape that just dropped. Actually, I'm just fucking with the more that they had Morgan Freeman. That's yeah, that shit wild. Right there fucked me all the way. I'm like, God damn.
And Morgan leaning in. He leaning in. He talking shit. Yeah.
And it connected. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to my homeboy Adonis Lumpkin down in Florida. You know what I'm saying? He put me onto it. He like a poet too. Like he write poetry and shit.
Okay.
He actually owns a couple of charter schools, but you know what I'm saying? He always has been like a poet. Uh-huh. And so when he put me onto it, he was like, yeah, hang up and go listen to it and call me back. You know what I'm saying? So I hung up, I listened. I'm like, these niggas really got Morgan Freeman on this bitch talking some shit, real shit?
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, these niggas is utilizing some vision in these trap projects.
Yeah. Nah, that was dope. That was dope.
Yeah.
You might have.
I'm on that.
Go ahead.
I'm on that. Now, you say you might have what?
I think he might have dissed Jeezy on that album. I caught a little something where it feel like he dissed Jeezy. He ain't really said nothing. Jeezy hasn't said anything. If you listen to the
it sounded pretty explicit.
Oh, you heard it. You heard the record. You listened to that.
You told me about it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I mean, I just went and checked it. I mean, that sounds pretty explicit.
Right. Nigga, I'm curious,
you know what
I'm
saying? Put pussy behind your name. Like, that's...
Yeah.
You know, don't say my name and then echo chamber pussy.
Right, not your name. You know what I mean? Not this nigga. Pussy.
Lord have mercy. That's if that ain't a diss, I don't know what you call that.
I'm curious what that stems from.
You know, I mean, you know, could be something personal. You know what I'm saying? You never know. It's classic age old youth versus the OG.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? In the city.
Yeah.
You know, but Jeezy been through this before. This ain't his first battle on the wax or in the space. Right. You know what I'm saying? He's actually had quite a few. T.I., Rick Ross. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I'm sure he ain't that much phased unless it's some real personal shit. Not to mention his beef with Gucci. That's the real one.
And 21 Savage from over there, from right over there. Because I think one of 21 Savage's earliest projects was like, I think it was called Free Guwap. So he probably from that, you know, from that whole tree.
I mean, most of these cats out here are.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because a lot of these cats stem from that Migos, Young Thug, all that whole, like all that's Gucci influenced.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Indeed.
So, Gucci deep out here as far as his influence on these young cats, and he still hold a respectable spot. And, you know, in that battle with Gucci, I mean, he really came out as a, you know what I'm saying, as a, you know, an official, you know what I'm saying, clear-cut winner.
Mm-hmm.
And was, you know, and proved to be exactly what he said he was, you know what I'm saying, at least in that instance. So... Yeah. Jeezy has taken some lumps upside the head in this battle space. But, you know what I'm saying, he a grown man now. It's not like he, you know what I'm saying, real active. You know what I mean? He not real out here in these streets every day with the trap rap. This man just announced he about to have a talk show, nigga. Yeah. Like, that's all the way retired down there for a rapper.
Get his Phil Donahue on.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? His Arsenio Hall.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, so, but I thought I'm waiting to see what his conversation is like on the talk show, because he always positioned himself as like the unapproachable street nigga. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So what was his shit? He always say, whatever said don't need to be said, or whatever. Right. You know, what are them fucking parables that a nigga tell you when they trying to be cagey and street?
Right, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I'm saying? So I wouldn't imagine him to, you know, be a talk show host.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess everybody got to, you know, get it out. You know what I mean? I guess telling stories is telling stories one way or other, or if getting people to tell their stories. If he could provide the platform, that could be cool. It could be a cool evolution for what's next, because ain't no shows popping right now.
Right.
He ain't real active dropping no new tracks every month. So you know, it might be a way to get them working in a way that you know, can build some future equity and longevity in his career.
Yeah. Speaking of telling stories, real briefly, I didn't even get all the way through it, but this lady Stephanie, I don't know her last name, but she goes by Tanqueray. She was on Humans of New York. I sent you the thing. You've seen her before. Mm-hmm. She was on Humans of New York. Yeah.
She was viral a couple of years ago.
Yeah, black woman from Albany.
Ex-prostitute?
I don't know if she's a prostitute. I didn't get that far. I know she was a go-go dancer. Her storytelling, she got 32 joints on Humans of New York Instagram, and typically Humans of New York give you like one mm-hmm. one post, and they you know, they put your shit into a nutshell, and it's as compelling as it can be. Her shit proved to be so compelling, they brought her back when she mm-hmm. did a whole long story. There's people talking about, yo, this needs to be a Netflix series, at least a movie. And mm-hmm. the shit got so much attention that I guess somebody from either Humans in New York or somebody set up a GoFundMe to kind of take care of her living expenses, or even maybe her medical expenses, to make mm-hmm. sure that she's good, you know, in her senior years. And they raised over $1 million. So she's a millionaire now.
That's dope.
And yeah, it's super dope. But her fucking storytelling is out of mm-hmm. here. Out of right. here. Like it's official. The way she say shit, the way she capture shit, the way she right. like had her own little words. She had one thing about where she was dancing at the club, and she said, you know, she be getting so, you know, kind of intense with it, the way cats are, you know, some niggas be beating they meat behind the bar, right? She said, yeah, mm-hmm. we called them shoulder jumpers. She said, we called them shoulder jumpers because they try to hide their hands, but the shoulders would betray them. I said, oh, shit, nigga. Shoulder jumpers is one of the illest. That right there, I was like, yo, she'd have been a hell of a rapper. Yeah,
you can't beat the streets.
Nah. Not at all.
With the human language. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I'll be honest, man. I really ain't fuck with Humans in New York because, uh-oh. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, anytime it was somebody black, it was always the worst of stories. You know what I'm saying? It seemed very, like, you know, very
struggle.
Leechy the way they do it. You know what I'm saying? Okay. It's like they find the worst of these stories to post up. Now, you know what I'm saying? In some regards, they do garner enough attention to bring money to the school in Brownsville, to bring mm-hmm. money to Tanqueray, and most likely some type of story deal, some type of way, which they'll probably be somewhere in the middle of brokering, which is, you know what I'm saying, which is good for her. But it just feel like they're one of those sites that kind of leech on our traumas and shit like that. And mm-hmm. when it's white people, it's a lot of times, you know what I'm saying, they have some tough stories, but a lot of they have other stories. They have love stories. They have all kind of little stories on the Humans of New York. So I just felt like when it came to us, they used to take advantage of our stories for the clicks. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? And so I really ain't fuck with them like that. But I did see that Tanqueray story when it jumped the first time, which mm-hmm. it was still like, you know what I'm saying, utilizing, you know what I'm saying, somebody in a position to tell their story, and then they get these clicks, which is, you know what I'm saying, which is media. But I'm glad to see that they doubled back and made it good for her as well.
Mm. Yeah, I'm familiar. I knew who Humans of New York was. They more so been on the peripheral for me. Like, I'd catch it when I catch it. I don't really follow them, so I'd catch it when I catch it. Shout out to Sox Diddy. He got profiled, and I don't think it was no struggle. Right.
I'm just generalizing off of what I've seen. You know what I'm saying?
That's what
I'm
saying.
And I could be totally wrong, and, you know, I go into, you know, I look at things. Like, I might say some shit, and I could be dead ass wrong. And if I'm wrong, I could admit it. I take my wins and my losses.
There you go. I wouldn't even say it all. I'm just saying, again, like, I didn't really, like, I don't have any true point of view on the outside or whatever I've come across. But I mm-hmm. will say that this particular one, you know, it feels like a true old school New York story. Like, just the places she go, the way she describes how she saw the city. Like, it was
it's really fucking compelling. Like, it's really fucking compelling. It's one of the most compelling things I've seen in a minute. And I just got done talking about mm-hmm. Lovecraft Country. So, it's, you know, it's one of them things that held my attention. So, you know, if you get a chance, check that shit out.
All right.
I think that's it for me. You got anything else you want to say before we transform?
That's it, man. That's it, man. Everybody stay up. Stay safe. You know what I'm saying? Mask up. You know what I mean? Don't be like Trey Songz or Donald Trump, per se. And you know what I'm saying? Stay healthy out here, man. And so we can get to the other side of it and do all the shit that we came here to do.
There you go. Wash your hands.
And wash your car.
Get that feather duster. Till then, tell a friend to tell a friend.
And even an enemy.
To get in the conversation. Yeah.
Hello. Conversation.